And now listen to the second broadcast. The Spanish Flu.
Go to any cemetery in the world, and you will undoubtedly find many graves dating from the autumn of 1918. Between September and November of that year, as the First World War came to an end, the Spanish flu swept the globe, killing between 20 million and 40 million people. More Americans died of the flu over the next few months than were killed during the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War combined. The Spanish flu, as it came to be called, reached every continent and virtually every country on the map, going wherever ships sailed or cars or trucks or trains traveled. It killed so many people so quickly that some cities were forced to turn their buses and streetcars into transportation for bodies, and others buried their dead in mass graves. There are seven graves out of all these millions that stand out. They are the graves of seven miners who died in a tiny mining town on one of the Norwegian islands. What is so special about these graves? Being less than 800 miles from the North Pole, the ground is frozen so that the bodies of the seven miners are well preserved. An expedition, which consisted of scientists from Canada, Britain, the United States, and Norway, went to this tiny island, dug into the graves, and collected samples from the bodies. They hoped that those samples would provide more information about the deadliest virus ever. Because the virus is so deadly, the group members were extremely careful. They left the bodies where they had been, in their graves, and performed the autopsies in the ground of the church cemetery. The diggers were wearing space suits, and a tent was built over the graves to prevent the possibility of infection. The samples they took from the bodies were sent to laboratories in London and Washington. The scientists hoped to be able to answer some basic questions about the Spanish flu. What kind of virus caused it? Why it was so deadly? And if we can successfully vaccinate against it if it recurs? Outbreaks of deadly flu other than the Spanish flu of 1918 have been responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths around the world. The Asian flu, for example, killed 70,000 Americans in 1957, and the Hong Kong flu killed 33,000 during the winter of 1968-69. In 2003, about 8,000 people worldwide became sick with SARS, a viral disease that caused the death of 800 people. That's why the mission of the expedition was so important. If another deadly flu epidemic emerges, we may have much better tools to fight it, thanks in part to seven young miners who died on an Arctic island almost 90 years ago.
Now you can finish answering the questions. Practice Paper 4, Part 2, Access to Information from Spoken Texts. You're about to hear the text of your listening comprehension test, which will be spoken twice. Before the first broadcast, you may look at the questions. You may start answering the questions after the first broadcast. Now listen to the first broadcast. The Brain Olympiad.
The Mind Sport Olympiad, a week of brain games, is about to open. Instead of running or playing ball games, the competitors will perform intellectual acrobatics in events ranging from speed reading to computer programming and crossword puzzles to the more traditional chess and checkers. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Philip Marks, a member of the Olympiad Organizing Committee. Mr. Marks, I really appreciate your coming to our program today. You must be extremely busy these days.
Yes, we have been very busy these past few weeks preparing for the Olympiad. But I am glad to have an opportunity to tell the listeners about this event. I hope many of them will come to watch the events, and perhaps in the next games they will join as competitors.
When I visited the location, there seemed to be many people who came to take part in the games. How many participants are there?
More than 1,500 people have signed up to take part in the Olympiad, which is open to anyone wanting to test his or her mental capacity and spend a week playing games. All these people are suddenly coming out and saying, for example, "Yes, we love Scrabble. We think it helps the mind."
So it seems that anyone who prefers doing jigsaws or crosswords to getting on the treadmill may participate.
This is not really so. We do hope to promote the brain over the body. However, couch potatoes who spend the day solving crosswords and watching TV quiz shows are unlikely to win gold medals.
This seems illogical. Can you explain why?
We have found that the top mental athletes are also extremely physically fit. There is a strong connection between the two.
Actually, it does seem to make sense. Who is the father of this Olympiad?
The event was the brainchild of two chess grandmasters and Tony Buzan, a British memory guru who has published 19 books on the power of the mind. For thousands of years, there have been physical championships. The world had focused so long on the body and not on the power of the mind. So the three decided to do something different.
Can you tell us about a famous competitor?
There is Creighton Carvalho, a man who once memorized the infinite number pi, you know, 3.14, etc., to 20,013 decimal places. Just getting that many digits out of his mouth in 1980 took him over 9 hours. By the way, Carvalho can recite by heart 5,000 telephone numbers from his hometown. Of course, he is competing in the memory category, a 2-day event that includes memorizing 2,000 random digits in 1 hour, reciting poetry, matching names with faces, and learning some computer code.
Aside from the memory event, which other categories are included?
We have competitions in mental calculation, creative thinking, and IQ tests. There are also jigsaw puzzles, games such as Mastermind and Stratego, and some more less-known exotic games as well.
Our time is running out, Mr. Marks. We have time for one last sentence.
I would like to conclude by stressing that glory for the victors is not just wearing a gold medal, but actually growing smarter while they probe and test the powers of the human mind.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you and our listeners. Next week, we will interview the director of the Moscow Ballet, due to arrive in a few days. Join us then.